Welcome back. I'm your host, Doug Haldeman. If you'd like to reach us on our off-air number, you can text or call 314-472-DOUG. Again, that's 314-472-DOUG, D-O-U-G, which is 3684. I want to welcome back my co-host, my beautiful wife, Tammy Haldeman. Welcome back, Tammy.
Thanks for having me back at the Cornerstone Mortgage Incorporated
Studios. Heard right here on FM News Talk 97.1, and also you can visit our blog at DougHaldeman.com to see all these posts. So, Tammy, you and I get to really talk about finances a lot, especially mm-hmm. in this business, doing right. the radio show, and we came up with the 10 quick tips for financial planning together.
And at Cornerstone, you probably mm-hmm. share a lot of this information with your mm-hmm. clients.
I do. We really become like marriage counselors of sorts. You sit mm-hmm. across the desk from thousands of couples over the years. And you know, the dynamic that you see is sometimes it's awesome watching it, and other times it's pretty disappointing. Yeah, sometimes it's very, very painful.
You can predict how yeah. things are going to go.
Well, okay, so let's jump yeah. into this, and I'll tell a story in a little bit of one okay. that actually happened this week. So what is tip number one for the 10 quick tips for financial planning together?
Sure. Tip number one is set the priorities and specific goals. Just don't assume you both have the same goals without discussing them. That's probably true for most couples is, you know, you get married and you assume that you buy thrifty items and find out that somebody else likes to buy from Neiman Marcus or something
right.
every day.
Right. Somebody has caviar taste on right. you know, a very cheap budget.
Right, right.
Well, yeah, I think that really can't be overemphasized. And during the dating period, people should try to flush that out because
really should.
It is a nightmare when you're in a situation where the two parties in a couple spend money significantly differently.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why if you set the goals together, then it's not one person trying to control the other one.
I'm not sure how you can work that in a first date question, but you know, once you've established a relationship, you know, it's definitely worth a glass of wine and maybe some discussion.
All right. So tip number two.
Yes. Discuss the values. This basically is, you know, you're offering different values. You make an agreement on goals that are difficult. When one person wants to spend now and one wants to save for later, like you and I, when we're remodeling the home, we both agreed that we need, you know, certain things done at a certain time. So I think that's super important.
Well, here's another area where I see this is when it comes to risk aversion.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So like, I'll say that most frequently it's the husband that likes the risk and they want to start buying investment properties. They want to go into some risky stock investment or something like that. Something's more speculative where women frequently need more safety and security. And sometimes these roles are reversed, but just it's kind of a general statement. So making sure you get on the same page when discussing your values on number two.
Right.
Number three.
Plan in 5-year units. And basically what this means is that you think about where you want to be in 5 years, where you want to be in 10 years, where you want to be in 15 years, and just block it out in 5-year increments on where you want to be, what house you want to have, how many children do you want to have, you know, think about it in those terms.
When you set both intermediate and long range goals,
mm-hmm.
you don't feel like you're going to be deprived forever.
That's true. That is true.
Because mm-hmm. you can't have everything today. You need a little bit of
no.
delayed gratification.
That is true. Something to work for. All right. So number four is budget together. And this it's very simple. You just set up manageable systems for your cash flow together. And Doug, you have an amazing thing that you did and that's setting up the checking accounts and things like that. And maybe
and I'm going to jump in because I'm going to tell when somebody doesn't follow this stuff, okay, here's what happens. So I get a call this week from some longtime clients of mine. I helped them buy their home back in 2007.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, they now it was about a $200,000 house, and now they think they want to move up to about a $400,000 house. Do this for people all the time, move up home buyers. So find out how much money they're making. They're making a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, really, really good combined income where on the surface should be plenty of money to move up to a $400,000 house. So I pulled their credit report. They had a bankruptcy 4 years ago. And after the bankruptcy, tons of late payments, which is like the kiss of death in underwriting.
Right.
And they opened up a bunch of new credit cards, which was smart to get new credit established. They were all maxed out. Every one of them was maxed out. Every single card out of like five or six cards was above 80% of the, you know, within 80% of the limit. And one of them was actually over the limit. So then I asked, okay, you want to buy this $400,000 house? How much down payment money do you have saved? They had $2,000 their name. I'm like, well, what do you have in long-term stuff like 401k and things like that? They're like, no, that's it. Like, that's all they have. They had no down payment money. They had no equity in their current home. And I had to have a little come to Jesus meeting with them and basically tell them, listen, you guys are delusional.
Yes.
You know, you got to backtrack. Your thought of buying a bigger home is that's the type of thinking that got you into this mess.
Right.
And that's where it plays into number four, budgeting together. So I helped them get on a budget. Helped them set up their bank accounts differently with the setup that you talked about, and you know, help them try to get on the same page, discuss their values, have a little bit of delayed gratification because they've never had that.
Right, right. Well, that's, I mean, that happens. It just happens out there.
So number five, Tammy.
Know where your money is going. And that's really just, you know, old school, keeping keeping the checkbook up to date. Or maybe you're a computer guru and you keep everything online and you keep your budgets up on an Excel spreadsheet, as Doug does. and just keep it, and knowing what you're spending your money on.
So here's a couple of quick tips on that, too, is that if you're doing, you know, like if you use Quicken or something like that, then you can export everything out of your bank account directly into it. Okay. Mm-hmm. Or you can export it from your bank account into Excel. Now, here's something people do that complicates this. So like the couple I was talking about a minute ago, they spend money not only out of their bank account, but they're spending it on five different credit cards.
And you have no idea.
Trying to track your spending in that case is pretty darn difficult.
Yeah.
You could. It's really simple to just export your bank account out, especially if you're just spending on your bank account. Export it to Excel and put categories on there. And a lot of times it will even categorize some of it for you. But you just go through and you clean up the categories. Real easy way to keep track of your money flow.
Yes. But I'm thinking of all the old school out there that we just used to write everything out. And that's okay, too.
And that can work, too.
And that's probably how I would do it.
In case you just joined us, you're listening to Doug Haldeman Show on FM News Talk 97.1, brought to you by Cornerstone Mortgage. We're talking about the 10 quick tips for financial planning together. Number six, Tammy.
Number six. Don't assume that because you're both working that you have a lot more money to spend. Oh, my gosh, Doug. You probably handle that every day.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
I mean, absolutely. Oh my gosh, I just got a raise at my office. So now let's spend more. No.
Right. Now we can get that new car. Yep.
Right. Keep it is so tempting to do that. So tempting.
Well, and especially if you have any type of variable income like commissions, because our egos will always want to take the credit for why we're doing so much better. And we think it's because we're better and not just because the market's better or something like that that may be driving it. And our egos will think that it's never going to go back down. Mm-hmm. So we raise our expenses up. It's like this natural occurrence.
Right. And I mean, I just gave my son and another friend of mine advice that, you know, when you go into a home, you need to be able to afford it all on one income. And that will save you so much stress if you can work it that way.
That's really the epitome of living below your means with that statement.
Right.
All right. Number seven.
Save regularly. So basically, so you're not locked into that second income, just what I just said. It's really just living on that one income and allowing that second income to just be the extra.
Well, and this is really where it comes down. The people, you know, the average person out there, you have a certain amount of money that comes into your household every month. Most people will spend first. And then they save what's left over at the end of the month, which frequently is nothing or a very little bit. Mm-hmm. People that accumulate wealth will have the same amount of money coming in their household, but they save first, then they spend what's left.
Right.
The important distinction there is not just an argument of semantics. The second person that decides in advance how much they save will always save more, because what you have left after that is all you have left.
It's true.
It's all you have left to spend.
I love IRAs for that very reason.
Right. Anything that comes out automatically is a smart way to do it. So
right.
Number eight, Tammy.
Who handles the actual paperwork can be a matter of personal preference, although both of you should practice it together. So basically, not one person handling all the bills. I don't know how many times.
Well, I don't think that's what necessarily what that's. Yeah, I don't know that that's necessarily what that is saying, because to me that's saying that it should be a matter of preference who handles the paperwork. So like between us, Tammy, you are a bookkeeper for a living, but you wanted me to be the one to actually pay the bills.
Yes, because totally do it all okay day long every day.
But we both need to know about it. I dropped dead. You need to know how to pick it up and run with it.
Yeah, that's basically what I was saying.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But you still need to know about it. What I was getting ready to say is there's so many people when the spouse dies, older couples, the other couple has no idea how to handle it. And in my community, I actually help out a lot of people with that. So,
all right. And this ties in a little bit to number nine is...
Don't confuse the task of doing paperwork with the act of financial decision making.
Absolutely. And then that rolls right into number 10.
Sit down together and discuss finances at least once a month.
Okay. So when not confusing the task of doing paperwork with the act of financial decision making, just because one person does the bills doesn't mean that they dictate everything about the money.
Right.
You still should make those decisions as a couple.
Correct.
And then number 10 of sit down together and discuss finances at least once a month.
Where we are. Right.
That's a discipline that's hard to do, but at least having some financial reporting or something where there's some communication there and the other person knows about it.
Correct. Right.
Good stuff. I think these are tips that people really should live by. And if you want to see these tips, you can download them on our website at doughaldeman.com, DoughaldeMan.com. And we're also going to post the audio to this within the next day, so you'll be able to listen to this segment again too. So coming up, we have a special guest named Trey Canepa, who's a hedge fund manager that is going to tell us how we can use currency exchange to our benefit. You're listening to Doug Haldeman Show, brought to you by Cornerstone Mortgage on FM News Talk 97.1.
Almost half of all Americans are living paycheck to paycheck. There's no extra money when bad things happen. If you're involved in an accident and are suddenly faced with medical bills, loss of income, and more expenses, what can you do? The insurance company wants to settle and settle cheap. You need someone on your side. You can trust us to protect your rights. Remember the fours. Just dial 314-444-4444. Schultz Myers, putting you first.